Good morning. And so today Jesus says that it is the will of my Father that no one who comes to me shall be lost, but I will raise him up on the last day. So today we celebrate the Feast of All Souls. You know, and again, it's the soul, the focus of the souls are in purgatory. Now, again, we believe that there's only one church, right? There's not many churches. But the one church is the body of Christ. So the body of Christ, there might be different denominations, but there's only one body. There's only one church. But this one church is enveloped by three different parts: the church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant. The church militant, this is going to be a teaching homily in case you're wondering. The church militant is the church on earth. The church suffering is the church in purgatory. The church triumphant is the church in heaven. One church, three different places, if you will, huh? But we're all one in the body of Christ. Now, today, as we celebrate, you know, the whole month of November is dedicated to poor souls, and we focus on today praying for the poor souls. That's the church that is in purgatory. Now, as I talk about in the bulletin article that I wrote this week, as I talked about before, my first experience from this came from my grandmother. And my grandmother was a great little theologian, little German lady. And every week when we went to church in downtown Pittsburgh, a church of St. Patrick's, we would go in there and my grandmother would light two candles in front of Our Lady. And I used to say, it was the big $2 candles or $1 candles in those days. And she would say, I'd say, why do we do that, Graham? And she says, well, we light one of the candles for my grandparents, great-grandparents, and her parents and her grandparents. And we also pray for another one for the souls of purgatory. Every week we lit a 7-day candle, every week. And I said, well, why do we pray for those souls in purgatory? And she says, because they need our prayer to get out of purgatory. And if they get out of purgatory because of our prayers, they become great saints. And then they pray for us. So then we have our own personal saints praying for us in heaven. Great theology. Now, some people say, where is that purgatory? Where is that in the Bible? Is what people always try to fight about. Where is that in the Bible? Well, it's in our Bible. The problem is, us and Protestants, we have two different Bibles in the Old Testament, correct? We have seven more books in the Old Testament than our Protestant brothers and sisters do. And again, we talked about it before, because of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees, there was more Sadducees when a temple was destroyed, and they threw out, and what's the difference between a Pharisee and a Sadducee? A Pharisee believes in life after death, and a Sadducee does not believe in life after death. That's why they're so sad, you see, you got it, remember, never forget it, da-da-da-da-da. So the Sadducees do not believe in life after death, so they refocused on their canon. They got rid of seven books of the Old Testament. Jesus had these seven books, which we have in our Catholic Bible, but the Hebrews threw them out, and primarily because of that. That's an oversimplification. But if you go to two Maccabees in chapter 12 here, it talks about, you know, they were in war, and when they were in war, they took some of the stuff that belonged to the pagan idols. And when these people were killed, they found on them idols. And so that was a great idolatry. So this is what Judas Maccabees does. He says, turning to supplication, this is verse 42 of chapter 12 of 2 Maccabees. Turning to supplication, they prayed that the sinful deed might be blotted out. The noble Judas warned the soldiers to keep themselves free from sin, for they had seen with their own eyes what had happened because of the sin of those who had fallen. He then took up a collection among all his soldiers amounting to 2,000 silver drachmas, which he sent to Jerusalem to provide an expiatory sacrifice. In doing this, he acted in a very excellent and noble way, inasmuch as he had the resurrection of the dead in view. For if there was not expecting the fallen to rise again, it would have been useless and foolish to pray for them in death. But if he did this with a view to the splendid reward that awaits those who had gone to rest in godliness, it was a holy and pious thought. Thus he made atonement for the dead, that they may be freed from their sin. So, this is where we talk about purgatory, we talk for praying for the dead. It's a very ancient part of our theology and of our church. From the very beginning, when they would have Mass, they would remember those who have died. from the very beginning. And so what we need to do is to find the theology of that. The teaching of the church is very clear on this, but it's very simple. The two things you must believe as a Catholic is one, purgatory exists, and two, it's a good and holy thing to pray for the dead. Everything else is theological speculation and theological tradition. But one, it's a purgatory exists, and two, it's a good and holy thing to pray for the dead. Now, what is purgatory? Purgatory is the place of purgation. If the soul, when a soul dies, if it's in a state of grace, it goes before, but it still has venial sin. It's the place where we're purged of that sinfulness, that purge of their selfishness. Now, again, the more you sinned, the longer that will take. And my best image for that is the God of love is a fire. His love is so pure, it's a fire. And when we die, if we have a selfishness, and we all have some selfishness in us, some more than others, that when he pulls us towards himself, he burns away with his love our selfishness, so that we can be purified to become pure love with the Father of love. And so his love is a burning. The more we've sinned, the longer this takes. You know, but it's a love, you know, as some of the saints used to say, again, not official teaching, but the fire of purgatory and the fire of hell is the same fire. But the one in purgatory has hope because it's the fire of God's love. And his love embraces us to bring us home forever. And so, the first thing we do is in our own life, we try to sin less and less so that that purge will not be longer, right? And you pray for a good and holy death. That's why this whole month we pray and ask for the poor souls in purgatory to get them out of purgatory. And we pray to St. Joseph traditionally that he prays we have he prays for us that we have a holy death. And what does that mean? That when you die, you have the sacraments of the church, that you here get to go to confession, you get the last rites, and at the last rites of someone dying, what does the church give you? Do you know? A plenary indulgence. And what's a plenary indulgence? Full remission of confessed sin, right? Full remission of confessed sin. So that means if a person gets last rites and they get the plenary indulgence with all the things allowed, if they die, when they die, what happens? They go right to heaven. No purgatory for them because they had it provided for death. Now again, when someone dies, you go through particular judgment, which means you go to heaven, hell, or purgatory. Yesterday, when I did the All Saints Day tweet in the morning, I says, you have two choices, you become a saint or you go to hell. And then people said, well, Father, that's not a good way to start the day. Oh, stop it. And then another woman says, what about purgatory? If you go to purgatory, where are you going? To heaven. That means you're gonna be a saint too, correct? But we need to help people along the way. So when a person dies, that's why I am nuts here in this church, that when someone dies, they need a mass said for them. These nutty people who don't, when their parents die, they don't have a mass said for them, I refuse to go to funeral homes and do a service at a funeral home. Why? Because you need a mass when you die. You need a mass to be purified. That's where the purification happens. So when someone goes to church their whole life and their kids say, oh no, we don't really believe in church. We're not gonna have a mass for them. I go nuts. And I say, I am not going to a funeral home. I'm not gonna insult your father or mother's intelligence and their soul. You will have a mass said for your mother or father. Well, I don't care what you believe. Your parents believed it. That's why every one of you, when you have a will, you make it very clear that when you die, you're to have a mass said for your funeral. Don't you even think about saying, I don't need a mass. Let me promise you, you need a mass. Everyone here. And so a mass is necessary. So we need to pray for our dead because it's a good and holy thing to pray for the dead. And what you can do is you can do things, indulgences, which the church takes from what happened, what Jesus did for us, because we're all saved by grace. We're not working out salvation. It's from what Jesus did for us on the cross, and apply it to the person. So you can say prayers. That's why when you go to Mass, when someone dies, you should have a Mass said for them. When someone dies, you should have candles lit for them. When someone dies, you should be making sure you pray for them every day. So to make that process faster. And you can get a plenary indulgence or a partial indulgence. A plenary is full remission of confessed sin. So you can apply that to someone who's died. So if you have a parent, husband, wife, son or daughter who has died, friend, enemy, you can do a plenary indulgence. Now there's a whole book on what the indulgences are. One of them is simple. We do it here every Sunday before Mass. What's that? You say a rosary in public. You pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. You go to Mass or confession 3 days before, you go receive communion and receive a confession 3 days before, 3 days after, and you get a plenary indulgence if you have no attachment to sine vi venia, which is the hard part. But then you can apply that to someone else who has died. So it's a good and holy thing for you to pray for the dead. But then in our own self, we need to make sure that we pray for a happy death and that we do sin less and less so that when we die, our purgatory will be faster. Now, Father Wright lives for these things, does he not? He loves to preach on this. And we need to preach on it. I only preach on it once a year to make sure that we all know what the teaching of the church is. So we know what happens, how to prepare for a happy death, and what to do when other people die. So that we get that purgation through faster and that we can enjoy eternal life with Jesus. Because he promises, it's the will of the Father that he should lose nothing, but bring everything to eternal life. God wants you to be in eternal life with him because he loves you. And he does everything in his power as God to save you. We need to cooperate with him. You got it? Get it? Gonna do it? May you know his love today and forever. Amen. Let us stand and let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and of earth,